Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. The agenda paper 10C provides analysis of the comment letters received in relation to the amendment of IFRS 13 that was proposed in May 2012 through annual improvement exposure draft. It makes a recommendation to retain the proposal from the exposure draft, that is to amend the basis for conclusions of IFRS 13. IFRS 13 has removed paragraphs of IS 39 and IFRS 9, which contain practical expedient to measure short-term receivables and payables without discounting if the effect of not discounting is immaterial. Those paragraphs are reproduced in paragraph 3 of the agenda paper. The question that has been raised is whether ISB, by deleting those paragraphs, intended to remove the practical expedient. In the exposure draft, the ISB proposed to amend the basis for conclusions of IFRS 13 to clarify that it did not intend to remove the practical expedient. The deletion has been made because the content of the paragraph has been already covered by the guidance in IFRS 13 on present valuation techniques and by materiality principle in IS 8. So the deletion of those paragraphs did not change the measurement requirement of short-term receivables and payables. 68 respondents commented on this proposal, and the majority of them agreed with the proposal to amend the basis for conclusions of IFRS 13. Those respondents who did not agree with the proposal can be classified in two groups. The first group are those respondents who think that the deleted paragraphs of IS 39 and IFRS 9 should be reinstated. These are mostly the accounting firms. They argue that the basis for conclusions are not authoritative and that the proposed clarification will still not prevent the current practice from change. From the comment letters received, we understood that the current practice is that entities perform a high-level analysis to assess whether the effect of not discounting would be immaterial. But if those paragraphs of IS 39 and IFRS 9 are not reinstated, the respondents argue that the entities would have to perform a detailed calculation to prove that the effect of not discounting is immaterial. The second group of the respondents are mostly standard setters and preparers of the financial statement. And they do not believe that any clarification is needed because IS 8 already contains enough guidance on materiality principle. Additionally, a few respondents raise the need to ensure that the proposed amendment is consistent with the practical expedient proposed by the exposure draft revenue from contracts with customers, which is reproduced in paragraph 11 of the agenda paper. We have pointed out this possible tension to the staff that is working on revenue recognition project, and they will be considering this matter during development of the revenue recognition standard. We propose to the interpretation committee to retain the proposal of the exposure draft, that is to amend the basis for conclusions of IFRS 13. ISB did not intend to change the measurement requirement, and this amendment clarifies and confirms the ISB's intention. Moreover, this proposal reinforces that materiality is already covered by IS 8, and therefore there is no need to address the application of materiality principle in other specific standards. The proposed wording of the amendment is outlined in appendices A and B to the agenda paper. We would like to ask the interpretation committee if it agrees with our recommendation to retain the proposal of the exposure draft. Thank you.
Maraj?
I'm not satisfied with this amendment, and I'm not satisfied either with the slight changes to the wording that has been made. So I do believe that it did provide clarity with not much red costs by including what was written in the previous paragraph into the body of the standard rather than in a basis for conclusion. Secondly, I understand that compared to the exposure draft, you are deleting in BC 138A the reference to practices in the measurement requirements of those short-term receivables and payables, so that it reads, the ISB did not intend to change the measurement requirements. I would argue that by deleting those sentences from the previous standards, the ISB is changing the measurement requirements. It does, because it says, it used to say, don't look at discounting when the effect was not considered material, and now you no longer have that. So this means that the requirements have been changed. So I disagree with what this basis of conclusion is now stating.
So, Laurence, how is that different from the general requirement in IFRS's that IFRS's only apply to material items?
Do you apply it to material items in combination of the overview of the financial statements, or do you look at it item by item?
Well, materiality is defined in terms of the financial statements as a whole.
Okay, but then here, how do we know until you have calculated the difference that the whole thing will not be material to the financial statements as a whole?
I think I would observe that Barbara used the expression that our understanding is that people do a high-level test, not a detailed test. So if you look at your receivables and you say, you know, there aren't any of these that are over a year, and I know what the prevailing interest rate is, I'm not sure how much more, unless you auditors are particularly hard-nosed, how much more somebody would need to do.
Well, the regulators may ask, it's not just a question of auditors.
But let's go Scott and then Luca, and then Patricia.
I agree with the staff proposal and think that actually I would think we don't even need to add these paragraphs to the basis for conclusions. I think the answer is already there, but if we're adding it, if the proposal is to add it because people have been questioning it, I think that's fine. I think that this issue with regards to specific references to things being material or immaterial, it's pervasive. It happens over and over again. We do it. We've done it unintentionally over the years. I don't even know what to make of the old paragraph, the old sentence that got deleted. Short-term receivables and payables with no stated interest rate may be measured at the original invoice amount if the effect of discounting is immaterial. Normally, I think of materiality in relation to the financial statements. This might tell me that I can only ignore it if it's immaterial in relation to the receivables. So it might make more things material. And I don't think that's the intent. I think getting rid of this sentence and just applying the general materiality will make things easier to apply. You do not have to do things that are not material to the financials. There's nothing special about this, and there ought not be.
I would agree with you. Several of us think that our use of the term has been sloppy. Luca?
I'm more in line with the first group of those who disagree and that prefer to have a clear indication inside the text. One of the elements indicated in the agenda paper that I agree is that the inclusion in the text is also supported by the fact that the basis for conclusion is not authoritative guidance. And if I look at the endorsement base made in Europe, the basis for conclusion are not part of the legal standard. So in this sense, I would prefer that the clarification passed through the reinserts of the paragraphs inside the text of the standards.
Patricia, then Guido.
Basically, I was going to say what Scott said, and it's my understanding that that was the intention of the board, that the concern that the board had with some standards having guidance that says don't do the immaterial implied that where they didn't say that in a standard, you had to apply it even if it was immaterial. And so they felt that it was better to try whenever possible to get that language out of the individual standards and rely on the general materiality guidance in IFRS. Because there were regulators that were saying, oh, well, here it says you don't have to apply it if it's immaterial, but this paragraph doesn't say that, therefore, even if it is immaterial, you have to apply it. And that's why the board wanted to take them out.
Guido?
Even though I'm part of an auditing firm, I was in favor of this DOS proposal. Now, listening to the discussion, I changed my view because it seems to be that immateriality, as it has been written before, is different to the immateriality or materiality as it is in IS-8, because IS-8, you compare it to the financial statements, to whatever profit or loss, revenue, or whatever KPIs you use to measure materiality, but it seems that the sentences that were in IS-39 and IFRS-9 were meant to be, as paragraph 4 says, a practical expedient. So that seems to be something you are measuring materiality on a different basis as compared to IS-8. And on the other hand, paragraph 6 says, but the ISB did not intend to remove the ability. So was it a decision that the ISB took in saying that, yeah, we change guidance here because it's not a practical expedient anymore? You measure materiality in IS-8, which is different to what you have done before. Or, as I understand this paper, the board says, no, there will be no change. Now, listening to what I've heard before, there might be a change. And that's really something that makes me wonder. So are we changing something that has been a practical expedient, or are we not? If we are changing something, then
bring Mariella in.
So the reason for the deletion was that nothing was that the requirements in those paragraphs were redundant, i.e., they were already covered by the principles in other IFRSs. As a result, nothing was intended to be changed. The requirements, the measurement requirements for those short-term receivables and payables, were not intended to be changed.
I understand that, but it seems to be that in practice people understood the practical expedient in IS-39 differently, that they said it's not something that is covered by IS-8.
So, yes. Some of them. We don't argue the understanding of the measurement requirements. What we are conveying here is that those measurement requirements were not intended to change by the deletion of this paragraph. That has been clarified in the basis for conclusions. And those requirements rely on materiality and on present value guidance in IFRS 13. And those standards are authoritative. So if we are saying that the clarification in the basis is not good enough because the basis are not authoritative, well, the ideas behind, the requirements behind the paragraphs that were deleted rely on principles that are authoritative and that are in current standards.
Yes, I understand that, but the BC seems to indicate that there is no change
in the measurement requirements,
which I understood is that a lot of people, at least the auditors, think there is a change because before it was a practical expedient, which is not part of the materiality in IS-8.
I think what people are telling you, Mariella, is that in practice, a practical expedient is a get-out-of-jail-free card. And you just turn your brain off when you see that. If the board did not intend for you to do that, that they wanted you to leave your brain and gear, then you've made a substantive change.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. Let's bring in Scott, and then Andrew, and then John. I'm out of order, but...
I just want to point out that, the sentence, I think, that's being removed didn't say practical expedient.
No, it didn't.
It said you don't have to do it if it's immaterial. I think that is the general guidance. That's right. It's the next paragraph in the paper that says practical expedient.
Okay, I was looking at the revenue document.
That's different. I would agree that a practical expedient to me, and I think to practice, means you don't have to think about whether it's material or not. You just don't have to do it. Whereas the guidance that was in IAS 39 and IFRS 9, it didn't say it was a practical expedient. It said don't do it if it's immaterial. That, to me, is just the general materiality, except that when it's applied to a specific item, it gets confusing. Now, if the board previously believed that this was a practical expedient, and now it's just general materiality, I agree that that is a change. The words don't say that to me, but the paragraph 4 in the staff paper does say that. So I don't know, maybe it's more sloppy wording.
It is how we have labeled this requirement, so it's our fault, so it's not...
Okay, I have Andrew, John, and Laurence.
I was just focusing just now on the fact that it doesn't actually use the word practical expedient, because I think that practical expedient is a get out of jail card free. And I was thinking, yeah, we don't want to put provisions about materiality in lots of standard, but we're taking one out here, and people will say, well, why are you taking that out? And IFRS 13 does contain other practical expedients around mid-market pricing and alternative pricing models. So, you know, having another, keeping this practical expedient in IFRS 13 doesn't seem that big a deal. And I would be concerned if how this taking this out ties up with the revenue project. I mean, that just doesn't seem right. Well, that seems incongruous. But looking at the words, it doesn't actually say practical expedient here. And so I don't feel that strongly about it. But, I mean, I think people looking at the revenue project presumably are considering this issue.
Okay. John?
I mean, I support the staff position. I don't think it's a practical expedient. I don't think it ever was a practical expedient. It's a comment on the materiality of something which probably shouldn't and doesn't need to be in the standard, because there are other requirements that cover materiality. So to me, putting it in the basis for conclusions is drawing attention to it. That's fine. But I don't see that it's actually changing the requirement that always existed, which was to discount them if it was material, and if it's not material, not discount them. And I would have got there under IAS 8 anyway without any commentary in IFRS 9 or IAS 39, so I support the proposal.
I have to admit that I'm operating from my recollection of 39 when we were going through it. And this was a practical expedient, but some board members were reluctant to describe it as such because they said, well, what if you're in a 25% interest rate environment? And so they didn't want a complete open-ended. But it was about as close as we got. Charlotte, and then Laurence.
I agreed with the amendment until this discussion. I think the issue for me is what immaterial meant in the original context. I think it was read as being immaterial to that instrument, not as immaterial in the context of the overall financial statements. So by referring just to IAS 8, you sort of go to a higher level. I still think you'd get to the same place, because I think under IFRS 13 you would ignore insignificant inputs, or we only look at things that were significant, so you could probably ignore the impact of discounting it that way.
But I think that's the difference. On the revenue project, I think my problem with the revenue project is it states that something shouldn't use discounting, and it seems to actually not care whether it could actually be material to that instrument or significant to that instrument, which seems actually totally counterintuitive. Just because something's under a year doesn't mean that discounting's not material, not significant. So I'm doing it now.
Could I add something about revenue recognition? We have talked to the revenue recognition team, and they will address, they are aware of this possible inconsistency, and they will address it through the development of their standard, either through a sweep issue or through the basis in drafting. But they are aware of it, and they will bring it. They will address it.
Laurence, and then I'm going to ask somebody to propose what we do.
I'm coming with a suggestion. It has been made, the comment has been made to look at what is being done under the revenue project. So I agree that there should be consistency with that project or more projects, as Scott said, because it's an issue that is pervasive throughout IFRS. I would propose at the moment to retain in the body of the text as is, and eliminate it if effectively under the revenue project it is eliminated, because then it will be consistent. So that is to tie in. If the revenue project also concludes it should not be included, remove from everywhere. If the revenue project concludes it should be included, then just leave it. At the moment it was there, so why not living there? It's not harmful. And with my suggestion, we would get a consistent answer.
At the moment, it's not there. It was already deleted. So when this was submitted as an issue, the question was, should it be put back in? The board discussed it, decided no, it shouldn't be put back in. But to explain the consequence of that change, the proposal was made to add something to the basis for conclusions.
I'm proposing just to go for consistency.
That would require, though, that we potentially put it in and then take it out. It would be better, wouldn't it, to...
If you want, take it out, but put it in if they put it in.
Go ahead, Scott.
The one problem I see here, and I'm trying to remember the revenue document last time I saw it, but I don't think the revenue document's measurement characteristic for either revenue or receivables is fair value. I think it's promised consideration.
But it's about the time value consideration.
Right. There is some time value consideration, but we are not, I don't think the revenue document is always trying to measure fair value.
No, it clearly
isn't. So we are not necessarily going to get consistency because 13 is about fair value. The revenue document has multiple different measurement characteristics, and the measurement characteristic for receivables is not universally fair value. So I don't think we ought to assume that there will be consistency, because we don't have the same measurement characteristic.
Bernd?
I just want to, maybe I'm not sure what Charlotte and Guido said, but I understood that you meant that if it's material to that particular instrument, then we should keep it. But I think that that's covered by IAS 8, because IAS 8 says if it's material, not compared to a certain number, meaning the whole financial statements, but if it's material for the user as information, then you have to do it. You have to disclose it. So if you think that this particular information for this particular instrument is material for the user, then you have to disclose it anyway. So coming back to based standard, I think it's enough to have it in IAS 8, so we can easily remove it. But it has been removed anyway. So we're just talking about, do we want to add the basis for conclusions to say that the removal was not intended to change anything? But I don't think that it is, that it did. So I what I'm saying is, I don't think that it makes any difference if you say it's material to this particular instrument or if it's material to the whole financial statements, because if it's material for the user, then you have to disclose it. And if it's not, then you omit it, if you're under IAS 8.
I would have thought that you, if you said material to the instrument, you have to do a lot more work. What I was going to suggest as a possibility, and then I'll bring John in and we need to ask Sandy as well, it's extra words that arguably are unnecessary. But what if at the very end, 138A little b, we said when the effect of not discounting is immaterial, and then add the words to the financial statements taken as a whole, which is what I think we've been saying. We think 8 already says. Bernd is shaking his head no.
Refer, or if you tie it back to IAS 8, you don't need to say to the financial statement as a whole, but just I think say according to IAS 8, because then everyone can assess whether it is or it is not.
Okay, I thought I heard people say that 8 is not consistently read even by the IASB on occasion. Patricia, and then Andrew, and then John.
I would be concerned that adding those words here would just muddy the waters still farther about what IAS 8 is intended to say.
Okay, that presupposes that they're already muddy?
Well, that was your you just said that you thought it was interpreted differently.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew and John, and then we got to try and figure out a way out of this.
Well, possibly for other reasons. I wouldn't go there. I think we either leave it in or we take it out. I mean, the danger of sort of qualifying materiality, we have to think carefully about that. I mean, what if you've got zero profit but lots of revenue, I mean, lots of debtors? I just wouldn't go there. I think that's just dangerous to rush into that.
John?
I think that there's some difference around the table about what people think the previous requirements of IAS 39 and IFRS 9 actually mean. But this isn't actually trying to clarify those requirements. It's just trying to say that this change, taking them out wasn't meant to change practice. So can't we just say that taking them out wasn't meant to change practice and let people go on their way with whatever they believe their existing requirements or what the previous requirements were? I certainly wouldn't believe it's appropriate to get into trying to interpret what's meant by immaterial in the context of discounting short-term receivables, whether it's the line item or whether it's the whole of the financial statements.
So you would stop, you would delete everything after indetermining, or from indetermining to the end, and you'd just leave the other couple of sentences. I guess it's all one very long sentence. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, I think trying to qualify what the previous guidance actually meant has obviously raised an issue that there's different people have different views as to whether it's a practical expedient or it's just a statement about application of materiality. Do you have to answer that question, or do you just say that taking it out wasn't meant to change current practice?
The word that has been deleted is vice practice.
Yeah. I would agree with everything, but instead of current practice, current measurement requirements.
Yes. We felt in sort of revisiting this that it's better to focus on the requirements and that the requirements weren't intended to change rather than to try and make a comment about practice.
I see head nodding around. Let me bring Sandy in if she wants to.
Yeah, I'm fine with that sort of change. I agree with what Charlotte had said earlier. I didn't think this was going to be that hard. But I also think that Scott made the point of, is the measurement supposed to be the same, or is the notion of the fact that we want to reference materiality similarly? And I think the notion was to reference materiality in a similar way. But I appreciate the point on IS-8, so I think a solution just saying it wasn't intended to change the measurement, I forget the exact words, seems like a workable solution.
Scott, wrap up.
Nothing to add.
Okay. All right. The proposal then is that we delete everything other than the first very long sentence. So the words from the IASB did not intend. Well, no, we need that sentence. We need that one as well. So from in determining whether to the end, we delete. Mauro?
Just one comment. I'm reading here. If you don't keep the reference for A and B, or are you intending to keep A and B?
Well, I was intending to delete.
To delete.
Yeah.
Because then I think could be troublesome, particularly in jurisdictions that are adopting IFRS from this point on, or and doesn't have the experience of applying previously IS-39 as they were. So I guess, in my view, I agree in the late, well, I don't have to agree or not, but I think is it possible to delete in determining, but I would keep the reference A and B for the sake of clarity, and then this will be clear.
My reservation is the conversation we've had about materiality. We don't agree on what it means.
But there's only reference to IS-8, so it will be applied anyway in accordance with IS-8. So I don't see any problem. The problem I was seeing was with your suggestion to add at the end of little b the comment on
I withdrew.
Yeah, and then that I understand. So, but I guess my view is that for clarity, A and B are important here. At least my view.
John, you're shaking your head, yes?
Yeah, well, my preference would be to just describe what the direction, what the end answer, the end result is, and it's IS-8. So basically, I think we shouldn't make a statement as to whether it's a change or not, there are different views or not, but basically we take it out because IS-8 applies, so we should just state it. Because we think IS-8 deals properly with this issue. And so, irrespective of how you read IS-8, then this is your answer. So I think I can agree that the sentence that says the ISB did not intend to change the measurement requirement is controversial. And I see there are different point of view on that. So why make this statement? Well, basically what we need to say is that look at IS-8 and find your answer there. That's the materiality concept is right there. And not get into subtlety as to what it means, because that's not what we want to do.
Okay, David Tweedy used to say it was always a mistake to do drafting at the table, and I think we've demonstrated that. Guido, Bernd?
I think it's all up to what the board intended, maybe not with the old wording, but with the new wording. So if the ISB says what we always wanted to have, and now we really want to have, is that you look at IS-8, and it's not a practical expedient, then I agree with John, then we should take out the sentence the ISB did not intend to change, because that will introduce diversity again, because people would say, well, it was a practical expedient, so I can go on with it. even though there is IS-8 in there. So, but if the board says IS-8 is the thing, you should look at it when it comes to materiality, then I would delete this one sentence, which might change practice then, because some in the past have understood it differently as a practical expedient, but it's better to have a consistency in practice from now on. So I would agree with that. Take out this sentence if the board says it's IS-8 and make sure that it's consistent to what the revenue recognition standard says, and then I would be fine with that.
The revenue recognition standard may not even, well, currently doesn't even mention materiality. It is a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
You just don't discount if it's less than 1 year.
I would observe that we now have proposed eliminating in one form or another every sentence. Someone likes the idea of getting rid of every single one, I think. Bernd?
Well, just one remark. If someone says that we should add, or some said that we should add, it was not intended to change current practice. There are two ways of looking at it. Who knows what current practice was 10 years from now? No one would know. So people will read it 10 years from now and say, well, I have no idea what they mean. Well, you can change it once in a while, but I don't know if that's worth the effort. And what Amaro said is kind of the same thing, but from the other way around. If there is no current practice in the country, then what would they do? So it's difficult. So I'm for deleting the other sentence that is still in there.
I think Mariella made the point that the reference is to measurement requirements, not practice, for just exactly that reason. Andrew, I hope you have an idea.
Well, given all the debates we're having around the words in BC 138A, I'm now firmly for putting the words back in the standard, because it's nice and clear.
Board member privilege. Patricia?
You have to recognize that one of the reasons why the board wanted to take it out is because there were other provisions in the same standard that regulators were saying you had to apply, even though they were immaterial, because if the board had intended you not to apply them, they would have said, as they did with the short-term receivables, that you don't apply it if it's immaterial. So putting those words back in may mean that other parts of the standard have to be applied, even though they are immaterial, under 8 or any other way you want to figure it out.
Have a question. So why would the inclusion of those paragraphs back should change the application of the materiality principles? And also a reminder that, well, the majority as well of the respondents agree with the proposals, and there was another group that stated that they didn't even need anything at all. So just to remind what the comments letter said.
John, Scott, Guido, and then we're going to quit one way or another.
I mean, I'd just like to strongly agree with the comments Patricia made. I think actually putting it in begs the question in other places about whether you do have to apply it even if it's immaterial. So I actually think it's dangerous having it in there, because I think it actually raises questions about other parts where you don't carry similar comments. So I mean, I don't think it's needed. I would take it out completely. But if the idea was to try and provide something which said that there wasn't an intended change, then I think wording that says there wasn't an intended change is useful, although that doesn't help people who come later to the standard.
Scott?
I was also going to speak up against putting those sentences back in. And maybe for BC 138A, all we need is the first long sentence that's there now, ending in "is immaterial," and then a second sentence that just says, however, the board noted that it removed those sentences because it believed that the provisions of IAS 8 regarding materiality already allowed entities to take this into account.
You get somebody writing that down? so that we don't have to rely on Scott's memory.
Which is terrible because I haven't slept in 30 hours.
But this is very sensible because actually... Sorry, wait. This is quite sensible, the recommendation, because actually in letter B, we are mostly repeating what is in the first paragraph.
Yeah.
So if you cut and go direct to however, and then you have it.
You know, let's make it simple and let the board decide. It's not up to us to make the decision. I think where we could help the board is say there are two options, and let's make them clear. One is if the ISB did not intend to change the measurement requirements that were in the old standards, and we have heard that in practice people were understanding that differently, then please, and I'm not saying that that's the right answer, but if that's your intention, put them back into the standards, because that makes it clear that you wanted, yeah, don't, yeah, put them back into the standards. But if your intention was to say, whatever you thought before, we always thought as a board that IS-8 is applicable, but you may have thought something else, we think IS-8 is the right answer, then take it out, put it into the BC, but delete the sentence where you said we did not intend to change. I think those are the two options, and it really depends on what the board wants. It's not on us, so why do we not tell the board, those are the two options you have, depending on what you wanted to have, you know, how to account for materiality. I think we cannot decide here. The committee, the board has to decide.
Charlotte, the real last call. Your light was on.
Oh, right. I'm coming back to the thing, having nothing in would be better, because that this way it draws out short-term receivables and payables and gives them more significance than they have. And in fact, these rules apply to everything, not just the discount rates, not just to short-term receivables. It's implying there's a different set of rules for those. And I think without this in and without the first paragraph, most people would have got to the same conclusion anyway.
Okay. Let's look at it this way. Who would support doing nothing?
What does that mean?
Just that. Well, removing this from annual improvements and proposing that the board do nothing.
So the sentences are still deleted and we don't add anything.
And we don't add anything to the basis or anything else. We just let it fall. Okay, I've got four who would support that. Who would object to it? Okay, we're split. Plan B is the Scott Taub wording. You want to read that back to us, Michael?
This is rough, so it might need a bit of wordsmithing. So we would keep the first sentence, which runs through to the phrase, when the effect of discounting is immaterial. And then we'd move on to say something like, however, the board noted that IAS already allows entities to take this into account.
IAS 8.
Yeah. Sorry, what did I say?
Just IAS.
Oh, IAS 8. Sorry, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Who would support the Scott Taub version? Well, obviously, if we take it to the board and they say that ain't what we meant, when we got a problem. But okay, I've got five. Who would object to Scott's proposal? Sandy, do you want to weigh in on this before I declare victory?
I would not object to Scott's proposal.
Okay.
And
I think the answer is we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We just analyzed the comment letters, and the answers were mixed even in the comment letters. So we never analyzed the practice. We just analyzed what was the intention of the board.
Okay, that's what we will take to the board, although I think necessarily we have to reflect in the board paper that this was a very discombobulated, that's a technical term, conversation, probably through the failure of the chair, but that there were several other ideas that went around, and so the board needs to be aware of that.
Okay, if you all like this one, you're going to love the next one. Anybody want to take a break before income taxes?
Yes.
This was one that got pushed to the next meeting. 4:15.